The good news according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark chapter 7, verses 14 to 23. And he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?" Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of a man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. So here in our gospel lesson, we've heard a rather negative assessment of humanity from the writer of Mark and from Jesus himself. And if we flip back to our Old Testament lesson from Deuteronomy, Moses announces rather loftily a series of statutes and rules. And it sounds great, doesn't it? The problem was they weren't kept. And the people entered the promised land and they were punished for their lack of faith. So what I'd really like to talk about today, though, is our epistle lesson that we just read this morning, Randy read this morning, from Paul's letter to the church in the Greek city of Ephesus. It starts out this way in verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Have you ever tried to do that? Did it work? You know, for the longest time, I thought being strong in the Lord was something I was supposed to do, something I was supposed to accomplish. And it seemed like it couldn't be that hard, or at least it shouldn't be that hard. There's instructions right here on how to be strong in the Lord. We just read it. Ephesians 6, verse 11 says, "Put on the armor of God." That seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? Just be strong in the Lord and put on the whole armor of God. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, and so on. So as a young man, even well into my 30s, I interpreted this passage this way. When it says, "having fastened on the belt of truth," I interpreted that to mean that I needed to make sure that I never told a lie, to make sure that I was always honest in my dealings with others. And if I lived up to these standards of honesty, God's favor would be with me, and I would be protected from misfortune and failure, because I would have earned that kind of consideration from God. And when it says to put on the breastplate of righteousness, I interpreted that to mean that I had to make sure that my standard of personal righteousness in actual practice was impeccable. It was the old, "don't swear, don't chew, don't go with the girls who do." And if I could do that, if I could establish myself as an island of righteousness in a sea of debauchery, God would bless me. Of course, it would help, I thought, if I would just remove myself from the unrighteous influences in my life. If I separated myself from those guys, my old friends. So I did. And then it says, take up the shield of faith. That one was tough. I interpreted that to mean, simply, that I needed to make sure that I had strong, unwavering, unshakable faith in Christ. But you know, sometimes my faith was strong, and sometimes it wasn't. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out how to make myself consistently faithful. Now, I've told this story before of being on a date with a girl named Marta, who I didn't know very well. We were at a Christian concert, and I responded to the altar call at the end, partly to impress her with my piety, and partly because it seemed like the right thing to do to impress God. In fact, I responded to a number of altar calls in those days. You could say that when it came to altar calls, I was a frequent flyer. But walking the aisle over and over again to dedicate my life to Christ never once made me more honest or more righteous in my conduct, and it never increased my faith. Nor did it save me from my sins. Here's why. Jesus had already done all of that for me. He had saved me already without my help. All I contributed to the process of saving me was my sinfulness. He'd already done all the saving. Not only that, if you take another look at our passage from Ephesians 6, all those things that I used to think that I was supposed to do, all those things that made me despair because I couldn't do them, I discovered something. Christ has already done them, all of them, for me. Here's what I mean. When I put on the belt of truth, that doesn't refer to my honesty or dishonesty. It refers to the truth that I belong to Jesus, that in my baptism I've been marked as belonging to Him. It refers to the truth that I've been forgiven because of Christ. And that's a truth that leads to a great sense of peace. You know, it's interesting. Just recently, I read a little biography on YouTube, reliable source of information. I read this on YouTube, a little bio of Norman Greenbaum. If you know who that is, don't raise your hand, but you deserve some kind of a prize. But actually, the only person who'd be here who would know for sure who Norman Greenbaum is not here physically today. He's in heaven. That's Jerry Davis. Jerry would know because Norman Greenbaum is a musician and songwriter who had one, just one, huge monster hit in his life. A song called Spirit in the Sky that topped out on the Billboard charts at number 3 in the spring of 1970. Of course, I wasn't around then, but just kidding. It's a song you still hear every now and then in a movie or a TV commercial. Fans of the song thought it was a Christian song. It mentioned Jesus in the lyrics and talked about going to heaven. But it turns out that Norman Greenbaum is Jewish, was raised in a very devout Jewish home. And he wrote the song because the lyrics came to mind, not because he believed the lyrics. And there is one telltale clue that reveals Mr. Greenbaum's theology is a little off. One line in the song goes like this. Never been a sinner, I never sin, gotta have a friend in Jesus. Well, that gives him away, because 1 John 1, verse 8 says, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself, and the truth is not in you. All Christians sin on a regular basis. We have sinful natures. Which brings us to the breastplate of righteousness. If you sin, in fact, if you sin continually, how can you put on the breastplate of righteousness? By definition, the righteous don't sin. Here's why you can put on the breastplate of righteousness. You're not putting on your own righteousness. You have none. You're putting on the righteousness of Christ. Romans 5 explains that Christ's righteousness has been imputed to you, credited to you. When you put on the breastplate of righteousness, it's an alien righteousness. It comes from outside of you. It's been credited to you by Christ. You can put it on because you belong to Christ. You can put it on even though you sin. Even if your faith is weak. Speaking of which, there's the shield of faith. What if you're having a rough day, or a rough month, or a rough few years? You've been disappointed. You've been beat up. Maybe you've been shattered by your circumstances. How do you put on the shield of faith when your faith has been shredded? You know, as Paul describes this armor of God, he makes the point that it's not to protect you against flesh and blood. It's not to protect you against people. There's something else lurking behind the people. People aren't the enemy in this fight. You're fighting against spiritual forces, Paul says, which means you're fighting against discouragement. And you're fighting against sadness and loss and depression. Things you can't punch in the face. You're battling against spiritual forces. You need the encouragement and hope and comfort that comes only from faith. So how do you put on the shield of faith when your faith is on empty? You ask God for faith. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says you've been saved by grace through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's a gift from God. Take up the shield of faith that God gives you, because that's the only faith there is. And He'll give you what you need. The good news is that God gives you what you need for all of life and for salvation. He equips you with the truth that you belong to Him. He gives you an alien righteousness that you do not have within yourself. He gives you confidence in His goodness toward you, a faith that's impossible to conjure up on your own. You've been equipped with all the armor of God. Forgiven and loved and accepted unconditionally, no matter what, you've been given what you need. So be at peace. Rest safely and securely in the arms of Christ, who is with you always in this life and will bring you safely to heaven someday. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to recognize the armor of God as gifts you have given to us, rather than a to-do list of tasks. Lord, we thank you for saving us who cannot possibly save ourselves. Lord, cause this truth to fill us with joy and fill us with gratitude toward you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.